So our text for this morning's meditation is from Romans chapter 13, these words, "Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, so another challenging text for us this morning. This assertion, this directive from the Apostle Paul, from the Holy Spirit, to owe no one anything except to love each other. For what does that actually mean? What does it actually mean? I'm reminded of the time that we gifted friends of ours in Germany our satellite dish when we moved back to the United States. You see, our building was a 12-story high-rise on the top of a mountain, a hill, really, maybe a bluff. And the only decent way to get a television signal was through a satellite dish about 3 feet in diameter, and it was attached to the railing of our balcony. Of course, since we had to aim that dish at a satellite, and everyone in our building had to aim their dish at the same satellite, just one side of that 12-story building had dish antennas on it, attached to the balconies, with some having two or three, as the people on the other side of the building had somehow arranged to have their antennas placed on those balconies as well. And so if you looked up at our building, you could see wires strung from one side of the building to the other, running from the apartments on the one side to the antenna railings on the other side, all the way up to the 12th floor. It looked really good. Well, anyway, when we left, we gifted our antenna to our friends who lived a few floors right above us. And while they were happy with the gift, they were also troubled. It was just too great of a gift. They wouldn't take it. But then they did take it. But the day before we left, we received a card from them, a farewell card, and in it was the amount of money that we paid for the antenna when we had moved into the apartment 3 years before, and that was 300 marks, about 300 euros nowadays. You see, they just couldn't find it in their hearts to receive such a gift from us. And they didn't want to feel indebted to us. And they didn't want to owe us anything, at least in their hearts and their minds. Now, we can laugh at that, or understand it, or admire it. That is, admire the fact that they understood that their relationship with us was not so simple. They were Germans. We are Americans. We were friends. But even though we were friends, there should not be any debt or perceived debt or a financial dependence between us. And we might be dismissive of such a sensitivity nowadays, but if we're honest, we'd have to say that they were onto something. For it is true, we are related to all sorts of people in all sorts of ways. Work, for example, throws us together with people we would otherwise never have any relationship at all with. Our mechanic, we appreciate because of his ability to fix our car, but any other connection with him might be a challenge. Same could be said about the person who cuts our hair, or our doctor, or our lawyer, our tax guy or gal. But it's not like the relationships we have with friends and family are in the free and clear here either. Why is it that we love? Why is it that we love old Uncle George? Yeah, he's an odd one. And he does smell. And all the canned goods in his pantry are expired. But he does have a great lake home with a very long dock on a wonderfully clear lake. And he's always glad to see us. This can be a hard topic. The text challenging. Here it is again. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Now, we're helped a bit with our understanding of this text by what comes right before it there in Romans 13. Pay all of them their dues, Paul writes. Pay all of them their dues, taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due. Owe no one anything except to love one another. In other words, we're to function within this world, participating within it, existing properly in our relationships to the governing authorities and all those around us whom God uses as his arms and legs to help us every day, so taxes and revenue and respect and honor. These duties, however, are not necessarily expressions of love. So we can get all mixed up with these types of things. What do I mean? Well, I mean what we take as love so often isn't love at all, but merely a relationship in which we want some sort of good or service from someone else, or they want something of a similar nature from us. And is this easy to figure out? Well, anyone who remembers dating and all the pitfalls of starting and establishing a relationship of love knows that this is not so easy. That is, it's not so easy to understand why a person is being nice to us, or they're expressing affection for us, or they're somehow sympathetic toward us. Experience teaches us that in such situations we should be truly aware and extremely cautious. It's in his lectures on Romans, the year before nailing the 95 Theses to the Castle Church door in Wittenberg, which began the Reformation of the Church. It's in his lectures on Romans that Luther noted that the person who loves his or her neighbor on account of his money or honor or knowledge or favor or power or comfort and doesn't love that same person if he or she is poor or lowly or ignorant or angry or needy or unpleasant clearly has a hypocritical love. So Luther. So we see that if we are to owe nothing to another person except to love them, that's still a tall order. For in doing so, in loving them, we must truly love them, and that is not just show our affection for them because it's of some sort of social or economic or psychological advantage for us to do so. So then, how can we understand what love is at all? How can we understand that? Well, love is a fulfilling of the law. And so that means our expression of love is that of an expression of the Ten Commandments. We love our neighbors, our parents, by honoring them, and our neighbors by not physically hurting but helping them to remain in good health. We love our neighbors by not stealing from them but helping them to maintain and increase their assets. We love our neighbors by not destroying their reputation but by building it up and not wanting the things and people in their lives to become our things and our people. Actions on our parts, thoughts and words, which are so expressed for such purposes, truly do fulfill the law of God, and so are indeed expressions of love. Our relationship with our neighbor should be on that basis and on no other. That's why it can be so difficult to relate to people at work or friends or even family, for oftentimes they themselves have no interest in love that is a fulfillment of the law. What they want is a love that has to do with money or honor or knowledge or favor or power or comfort. And if we ourselves don't express that type of love, which is a worldly love, they don't have any interest in us at all. So we can get on at work or fulfill some sort of friendship duties, but at the end of the day, we know such expressions of love are not legitimate. And of course, that's why the love of Christ expressed for us can be so difficult to understand. The disciples in the boat are frightened by the storm and are frightened perhaps because they're troubled that even though they are with the miracle-working Jesus, they find themselves in a storm which could cause their deaths. Perhaps the storm that we heard about in the Old Testament reading had come to their minds. That is a storm sent by God to knock about the boat holding that rebellious prophet Jonah. Maybe that was their situation as well, they reasoned. Maybe the disciples were somehow in trouble with God. But then what happens? Jesus doesn't volunteer to jump overboard to still the wrath of God, but Jesus himself stands up and stills the storm. The disciples marveled, for that's the last thing that they expected. And we could suggest here that that was the last thing that they expected, because they didn't understand what love, what divine love, the love of Jesus, the love of Christ, Christian love that we are to express toward one another actually is. That love is our service to our neighbor, our expression of the Ten Commandments with no thought of reward, but only with the thought of service. Service for the betterment in their health and in their earthly condition and in their reputation. Then, our rejoicing in their situation, not desiring what they have, but rejoicing that they have it. It is just such a love that was modeled for us by our Lord and Savior Jesus, a love of service for us because we are, well, His creations, those made in His image. And that love of our Savior for us expressed in His service towards us was not done for any other purpose but for our redemption, our righteousness, our innocence, our blessedness, so that for an eternity, we can live with Him in peace and joy. Love of our Savior for us was one that's found in the expression of His suffering and death. Why? To offer Himself as a sacrifice to our Father in heaven for our sin, our hypocritical love, the love of our neighbor, which is driven by money and honor and knowledge and favor and power and comfort. These are, after all, the loves of our old Adam, the reason our old Adam loves, and that is loves that are expressed for the benefit of the old Adam. Here, we can think of Judas and his apostleship with Jesus, meaning ultimately for Judas only the opportunity to betray Jesus for a month's wages. It's for our expression of love, for just such purposes that Jesus, our Savior, in His true and pure and right and holy expression of love, that is His love of service toward us for our betterment, suffered and died for us and rose again from the dead for us and ascended into heaven for us and sends His Spirit to us to create in us clean hearts, right spirits that love our Savior Himself as our Savior and love as our Savior Himself loves, that love as God loves us, that love even as we should love ourselves. Here we will note that the forgiveness we receive daily through faith in Jesus Christ is a forgiveness granted so that we can love. Our debt of sin being paid off by our Savior through His suffering on the cross means that our expression of love for our neighbor, our loving service toward Him, can be done so without any strings attached on our part. For being righteous and holy before God, our Savior Jesus, constantly by our side with His good gifts and Spirit, what do we need from our neighbor? We need nothing. But we do owe Him something. And that is, we owe Him our love. The love expressed by our Father in heaven for us, which now we ourselves express for our neighbor in our loving service toward Him. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.